So my name is Kristen. I live in New York City. You know, I was diagnosed with neurofibromatosis when I was 6 months old. So at a very young age, and especially back then, not much was known about it. My parents were, you know, just saw the early signs of it, which is like freckling under your armpits and six or more cafe au lait spots. And so, you know, they had some initial concerns and they brought me to a neurologist to diagnose me. And it was pretty mild now. But, you know, back then it was fine. No real complications. And the older I got, I started to have more cafe au lait spots pop up, more neurofibromas pop up. And just some more, I want to, not complications, but the side effects of neurofibromatosis. And it kind of has progressively gotten worse the older I've gotten. And, you know, that is one of the kind of trademarks of neurofibromatosis. It does tend to get old, to get worse the older you get. And so I've just been living with it since. And, you know, it's become a huge part of me. It's really made me into the person that I am today, you know, in so many ways. But, you know, I'm able to, despite it all, I think, live a very happy and full life. And now just kind of my mission and something that's really important to me is to raise awareness about it and help others that have it, as well as other disabilities, and help them to realize that they're not defined by their disability. So it's one of the major things that I do these days is raise awareness about neurofibromatosis. I also work as a personal trainer and strength and conditioning coach. And that sort of has come from having NF because it's helped me to become stronger, both physically and mentally. And really tap into like a secondary source of strength that probably wouldn't have existed had I not had this medical condition.
What's it been like, obviously growing up disabled for you? How have people's perceptions and kind of understanding of what it means to be disabled impacted on your journey?
Yeah. You know, I think because my case is pretty visible. So just for some background, NF really varies from person to person. Some people can have really severe cases of it and be covered in what's called neurofibromas, or like little bumps on the outside of their body. They could be covered from head to toe in very visible bumps. Other people have the neurofibromas under their skin. And essentially, a neurofibroma is a little tumor. In my case, they're benign. So neurofibromatosis as a whole is a condition where benign tumors, or in some cases cancerous tumors, grow off of all nerves in the body. And it's oftentimes very painful. And the severity varies from person to person, as I had mentioned. There's three kinds of neurofibromatosis: NF1, NF2, and schwannomatosis. And it's, you know, affects roughly about 1 in 3,000 people. The different types of NF kind of, there's different statistics on how many people it affects. But having NF1, you know, I did have the neurofibromas underneath my skin and off tumors internally, as well as some ones externally, as well as a larger, it's called a plexiform, so a larger mass or tumor on my neck and shoulder. And that was very visible. And that was predominantly what people saw when, I guess they see me, or, you know, it's just colored, it's brown, it's bumpy, it's lumpy. So having that be so visible, people often commented on that, made fun of that, you know, told me I look like an alien, really harmful and hurtful things. And then as well as I have a lot of cafe au lait spots. They look like birthmarks, sort of, but a little bit larger. And they're kind of covering my whole body. And so people also called me a cow, and I looked like a cow. I had all these marks. And especially as a young child, that's really harmful and hurtful things, I guess, say to anyone, but especially a young child. Yeah. And that really had an effect on me growing up, because I felt like I didn't belong. I felt like there was something wrong with me. And, you know, I just was like, why aren't I normal? I just want to be normal. You know, I want to stop being made fun of. And it definitely caused a lot of people to walk out of my life at times. Caused a lot of friends say they didn't want to flat out be my friend because I looked different. That really affected me growing up. And then as well as the fact that the condition in itself is really painful. So the tumors or the neurofibromas can flare up at any time and cause a lot of just different kinds of pain all over. And for me, it was, you know, throughout my whole body as well as in the plexiform area on my neck. And that was also really hard to live with and deal with on a day-to-day basis. So the two things, like the pain as well as just being bullied and feeling like I didn't belong, was really challenging growing up and just kind of living with that on a day-to-day basis. So that was kind of largely impacted, you know, everything probably until, I would say, you know, maybe about like 5 years ago. It was a very challenging thing to kind of come to terms with and to grasp.
You spoke about the impact of your job and doing personal training and stuff. When we, like, I'm just looking back to when I was younger, like, exercise and stuff was often told that I should do it because it would almost fix me and make me fit into the description that other people had of me. How have you found that balance between it being your passion and your purpose and what you're driven to do, and also balancing that with the perception from other people that doing exercise and doing the treatments and stuff will almost fix you and make you look like everyone else?
Yeah, I think that was a really interesting journey for me, because you're right, it did fit into the perception, like looking a certain way will kind of make me fit in more. And that is something I definitely tried to do for a very long time, like fitting in and fitting into other people's standards of what I should look like or how I, you know, what I should be doing. And what was really, I don't know if it was a specific defining moment for me, but it kind of came when I realized that working out and strength training and doing all this, it was more important for myself to just become stronger and, you know, physically become stronger, as well as just putting myself through, like, you know, I always say a hard workout is really good for your mind. It like pushes you past your limits. So becoming stronger in that way made me realize I'm not trying to work out or to do this to look a certain way, but just to be stronger for myself. And the more I focused on that aspect of it and becoming stronger all around, just made me feel so much better about myself and about kind of what other people were, you know, thought of me, or caring less about what other people thought of me. So I wasn't doing it to look a certain way anymore. I was doing it just to feel strong in myself and confident in myself, and knowing I could overcome hard moments in, you know, there. And if I could overcome a hard workout or, you know, become stronger in that aspect of my life, I could also become stronger in every other aspect of my life.
And when you talk about kind of the people you've lost when you've been dealing with all of this in the background and stuff, but how does it affect building relationships and friendships in the current moment? How are you dealing with, obviously we're in a post-pandemic world where we spent a lot of time isolated from each other. Mm-hmm. How are you, Justin? How are you coping right now with making new connections?
Yeah, I think that has always been something that has been really challenging for me. again, you know, when I was younger, and sort of covered now, the plexiform, I just had a surgery on it as well, but it wasn't as pronounced. And, you know, as I mentioned with neurofibromatosis, the older you get, typically the worse it can become. And that has been very true for me, where this, the plexiform on my neck has become more and more pronounced the older I've gotten. It's grown, it is a tumor, and it is invasive. So the older I've gotten, the worse it's become, the more defined it's become, and the more visible it is. And that's definitely made, you know, people walk out of my life and say, like, I don't like how that looks. I don't want to be associated. I don't want to be your friend or know you because of it. But on the flip side, there have been people in my life, and there still are, people that don't care. They like me for me. They like my, you know, everything else about me. And that's really something that I've honed in on. The older I've gotten is that if you don't like me or want to know me for any reason, that's fine. Like, there are people who love me and accept me and want to be in my corner. And those are my people. And it may be a small group of people, and it still is, you know, have about 3 or 4 very close friends. And other people that just don't want to get the time to get to know me because of it. And I continue to say, like, if you don't want to get to know me, that's fine. Like, that's on you. You're not my person. You're not my people. And the people that, you know, stick with me and care about me, that, you know, those are my people, and those are the people I focus on and build those relationships with. And the people that just don't want to, then, you know, that's okay too. You're not meant to be in my life. And it's taken me a long time to get to that place. You know, I think obviously when we're younger, we want to fit in. It's only like natural for humans to want to feel like they belong. And it's taken me a very long time to get to this place of acceptance of, I don't need to belong to, you know, every group of people. I don't need to fit in every setting. It's fine if I have a small circle. And that's where I belong. Those people that, you know, will be with me. So it's taken me a long time to kind of get to that place. It still is very challenging now. I still find it very challenging to try to date in this scenario. I'm single, and that's something that comes up very frequently dating, is that people don't want to date me because I look like this. And I kind of have that same mindset, like, that's fine. The right person won't care. And the people that care, like, again, like, aren't meant to be in my life. So it still continues to come up in new ways now. But I think just reminding myself of that constantly has been helpful. And it's forever a work in progress. It's not something, you know, like, you say once and it sticks with you. It's kind of an ongoing day-to-day thing of reminding myself that, you know, friends, people you're trying to date, anyone that doesn't want to get to know you because of, like, how you look or something about you, is just not a person that's meant to be in your life.
I was talking to someone about dating as a disabled person the other day, and it is interesting, like, trying to tell someone about your disability, and you can see the almost the cogs turning, and, like, they're trying to work out how they fit into all of it and stuff. And I was saying the other day, like, when you're disabled and you've got to go to the hospital quite regularly and you've got to have all these checkups and stuff, like, it can almost present with the challenge of, I want to date someone, but then at the same time, I don't want to feel like a carer or feel like they're here to look after me and not be my partner, if that makes sense. And absolutely. I totally get what you mean. And I think I heard someone say the other day that it's like, you've got to find your tribe. But when you do, like, it's the most powerful thing, because, like,
yeah,
it helps you be yourself and live in a world where you can adjust with the changes and the challenges that come your way.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree. And I think, like, kind of going along with that is, you know, for me at least, is having something that's, you know, has been more visible throughout my life, and people can see. People kind of, like, look at you and they're like, oh, like, that's really what it looks like. And, you know, I've tried to go on dates, and obviously, I mean, again, the shirt is covering it up more now since I have surgery, but, you know, I've tried both approaches, like wearing a shirt that kind of, like, exposes it, and people are like, oh, like, what's that? Like, look at you funny. And then, or, you know, the second time you go out, then they see and they're like, oh, like that's really there. And they give you like another kind of look being like, oh, like this is what I'm going to have to deal with. And then that's kind of also like, obviously unsettling because, you know, you don't want to be made to feel like that. And then you also, like you said, do worry about like if it does involve a lot of, you know, medical complications or hospital visits or surgeries, you don't want to have to, I don't want to say be a burden on them, but you worry that, you know, you're going to be, you know, throwing an extra complication into this that was that, you know, some of the people or couples wouldn't have to deal with. And that's also, you know, can be challenging.
What are some of the other challenges that you kind of have had to adjust and find new ways of working within alongside those that you've already talked about, like with dating and building friendships and new connections?
I think for me, something I haven't quite talked about and I don't talk about often either, it's kind of the pain that it does cause because it's a painful condition in and of itself. And that has been, you know, it's an interesting thing to kind of live in pain. And it's not like a 10 out of 10 pain every single day. But I will say every day, there is some point in the day where I am in pain to some extent. So it's a very interesting thing, kind of learning to live in pain to some capacity and, you know, kind of going about a very normal day, going to work, just being out in the world, being in pain like that. So that has always been kind of, you know, just something that I think people tend to forget about too when you have a disability or a condition. Is that it kind of goes back to you never really know what someone's going through, you know, aside from, you know, the plexiform on my neck. And at times you can see, you know, you can see obviously the cafe au lait spots on my body, but the other neurofibromas on the outside, you might not know that I have this. And a lot of people with NF, you know, it's very similar. It's not so pronounced. And people do live in pain. People are, you know, just going about their lives as if, you know, kind of like, I don't say nothing is wrong, but just trying to do, trying their best to live a normal life. And just, yeah, again, goes back to, you never really know what someone's going through. And that has come up a lot for me is that, you know, I do live in pain to some extent and that can be challenging at times just to like go to work and be a person and pretending that like everything is kind of okay.
And through your advocacy work that you talked about, what are some of the things that you want to raise awareness about your condition, but also the lived experience of disability?
Yeah, I think in general, as it pertains to like my condition, it is kind of a saying we say within like the NF communities, it's the most common genetic condition you've never heard about because it is very much factually true that, you know, it is a very common genetic condition, but most people don't know about it. And it can either be passed down only directly from a parent or a spontaneous mutation. I was a spontaneous mutation, so just so happened. But trying to raise awareness in general, A, that it's a condition that exists, B, kind of overcoming some of the perceptions about it, you know, a lot of which people think like you're contagious or, you know, because it does affect people, like how they look and they have bumps on the outside of their body. A lot of, you know, just rude opinions and comments people have about people with NF. And, you know, we're just a normal person like anyone else, you know, we're human. And also that, you know, sometimes I think people feel like, people with disabilities can't do anything, you know, other people can do. And the reality is we may not be able to do it exactly the same way, but we can still do everything everyone else does. There's, you know, I really want to try to kind of break the mindset that we can't do certain things, and you know, we can do everything everyone else can, full stop. It may look differently how we do it, but we can still do everything. And that's kind of just important for me, and making people realize that, you know, you're not defined by your condition, whatever that may be, or your disability. It doesn't define you. It's a part of who you are. It may have made you into the person that you are, but it doesn't define who you are as a person in general. And that you should never let your disability or your condition stop you in life from doing what you want or anything that, you know, you set your mind to.
And if you could give one piece of kind of like advice or like a call to action to any non-disabled person who's listening to this, what would you say?
I would say, you know, be kind. You know, be considerate. Kind of goes back to, you never know what someone is going through. And, you know, don't ask rude questions. I know it's a little bit blunt and vague and ambiguous, but you know, just be kind and considerate when you're talking to someone. You don't know what they're going through. You don't know what is happening in their inner world. You know, I think a lot of times I've gotten like rude questions asked to me, even in very like, you know, nonchalant manner, or like, what happened to you? What's wrong with you? Like, are you burnt? You know, how did that happen to you? And it could, you know, I don't mind answering questions. I think a lot of people with NF don't mind answering questions or, you know, a certain condition, but just be kind of like conscientious about how you ask the questions. And just to be kind, you know, and once you know, maybe try to be helpful in raising awareness too, of whatever the disability, the condition is, and advocate. You know, it's hard to advocate for ourselves. It really takes a tribe and a team. So help to advocate for those, you know, that have disabilities and conditions, and because we need all the help that we can get.
And to any disabled person that might listen to this episode, what advice would you give to them?
I would say two things. First of all, is kind of goes back to, you know, it's okay if you have a small circle. The people that are your people will love you and accept you for you no matter what. And the people that don't, that's not your people. They're not meant to be in your life. So don't focus on them. Focus on the people that want to be in your life and that love you for you. Number two, I'd say don't let your disability or your condition define you in any way. It's one part of who you are. It, you know, probably has had a huge impact on your life, but it doesn't define you. You're so much greater than that. You're so much more than that. There's so many other wonderful things about you and yourself as a person and in your life going on, that are just as important and have, you know, make you you. It's not just your disability or your condition. And I guess thirdly is, you know, never let it stop you. Like, don't, it's hard. Cause it could be very easy to be like, I have this disability and it feels like I can't do this, but don't let it stop you. You can, you know, do anything that you want to, and, you know, just keep, you know, we're all here, you know, we're all oddly united by having a disability of some sort. So you have a whole community here for you, and just don't let it stop you. You can do anything you put your mind to.
I really resonate with what you said there about not letting it be the whole, like, you have so many different parts of you. It's not just, I remember when I was growing up, like, I was always told that my disability was like all of my identity, and I wasn't allowed to shape the rest of it or kind of have any dreams and aspirations, because like they told me what qualifications I was going to get before I even had the opportunity to say, do I want to go to college or university and all this stuff. So I really resonates with that statement that you had there, so thank you very much.
Of course. I think it's a big one. I think a lot of times, you know, especially when we go through so much, either being in and out of hospitals or so much of our life at whatever point being centered around our disability or, you know, some medical condition. And there's so much of probably your day to day for so long tied up into that. It can feel like this is who you are and like this is you. And again, there's absolutely nothing wrong with it, you know, having a huge part in who you've become and a huge part of who you are. And it's probably shaped you and molded you into the person you are today, but it shouldn't ever define you. And, you know, there's so many other things in the course of everyone's life that has molded them into the person they are. Now, this is just one of them. And you're, you know, we're allowed to have so many things that shape who you are and make you you.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time to speak to me.
Of course.